The Rodcast.
If you want more information, go to rodders.com and click on Rodders FM. We've waited long enough. It's Rodders FM. Let's get on with the show!
Your week's been enough. You've taken crap from everyone you know. But Friday come like morning sun. It's Rodders. Brand new show. It's got Z-list guests, crazy competitions, Mystic Mug, and Beelzebub.
This song is diabolical.
Thank God it's Friday. It's the day after Thursday. Thank God it's Friday. It's the day after Thursday. Thank God it's Friday. It's the day after Thursday.
Yes, that's right. Welcome one and all to Rodders FM. If you haven't tuned in before, coming up on tonight's show, we have Formula One racing legend, Sir Jackie Stewart. Now, if you don't know who he is three-time World Formula One champion. He's had 99 Grand Prix starts, 27 wins, 17 pole positions, and he's also done clay pigeon shooting for Great Britain and Scotland. It's an exciting show tonight. This is just a little taster of what he sounds like.
Hello, this is Jackie Stewart, and you're listening to Rodders FM.
Also, let me tell you what else is coming up on the show. Wait for it. Here we go. I love that music. We have You Make Me Sick, the part of the show where I go on a rant about things that make me sick. We're now going to bring on our special guest.
Rodders FM.
Now on the line, we have somebody who has driven racing cars faster than I can talk. He's done clay pigeon shooting for Great Britain and Scotland. Three-time Formula One world champion. It's Sir Jackie Stewart! Your first sports career was in clay pigeon shooting. What made you take that up?
Well, I was the grandson of a gamekeeper who was the head gamekeeper for Lord Weir in Scotland. And my father was a great fisherman and shooting man, so I was brought up, I think, with a fishing rod and a gun in my hand, really. Clay pigeon shooting was a good way in because we didn't have an estate or anything like that. We wouldn't have been able to shoot in the normal sense of what people think of shooting today. So clay pigeon shooting was my first sport, something that took me from when I was just before 15 right through until, comparatively, until I was 23.
Then you moved on to cars, where your first job was an apprentice mechanic. How did you go from being an apprentice mechanic to one of Britain's top racing drivers?
Well, I left school at the age of 15 because I'm dyslexic, and I was pretty much a disaster at school. Little or no education, because in those days, even worse than today, the teacher training colleges weren't advising any of the teachers coming out of teacher training schools to have recognition of people with learning disabilities. And my dyslexia was completely ignored, as it was in a lot of other cases at that time, and frankly still goes on today to quite a large extent. But I just left school with little or no education at all. I started selling petrol and then in the garage and then went on to the lubrication bay and then served an apprenticeship, which I don't think is happening today. It was a 6-year apprenticeship to become a motor mechanic, a journeyman mechanic, where I got a City and Guild certificate for my 6 years of study, night school 3 nights a week, and working in the garage, learning from the other already experienced mechanics. So I ended up by preparing high-performance cars for some of our customers because the garage sold Jaguars and therefore maintained Jaguars. And there was one or two enthusiasts with really fancy cars. So one of them very kindly, after I had been preparing the cars for other people to race, offered me the opportunity of driving one in a very small event in Ayrshire in Scotland, which I finished second in. So that was where it all started.
Did when you were talking about school, so nobody knew anything about dyslexia back then?
None at all, really, that I was aware of in my school. It might have been the odd one somewhere else, but it was a sort of black art in those days. People just put you down as stupid, dumb, and thick, and that's what I was certainly recognised at, because that doesn't only stay in the classroom. It goes to the playground, and, of course, your fellow schoolmates think you're pretty stupid as well if you can't read and write correctly. So it was a bad thing, and it still does happen today. I'm president of Dyslexia Scotland, and we are fighting all the time, not only up north in Scotland, but I'm Westminster a lot with Lord Adonis, who's the person in the government and the Secretary for State on learning issues for schools. So we're still working at it, because there's still not a unilateral situation where teachers coming out of teacher training colleges are fully aware of how to recognise children who have learning difficulties.
So you definitely think there's more that can be done to help dyslexics nowadays?
Oh, an awful lot more, because dyslexics can be enormously creative. It's just a wiring system it could be best explained of in the brain. I mean, I still can't read and write correctly. I simply don't know the alphabet. I wouldn't be able to recite the alphabet to you. I just don't know it. Never been able to learn it.
I still can't write.
In other things, you know, I've got a good mind for creative stuff and for business and a whole lot of other things. I mean, I've been fortunately quite successful in business as well as sports. So it's an anomaly, really, but the problem is that you're graded by your school results. Maybe you do get to university, but still you're graded in the normal traditional ways. And some people really, you know, can't even... I couldn't fill in a driving application form, I don't suppose, now even. So it's very bad, and a lot of people go to, you know, frustration. And for that reason, sometimes go to alcohol and drug abuse. And many go to prison because they find crime easier than unemployment, just because they can't read and write and do the things that would get them good jobs. So it's very frustrating still, but we're gaining ground on it.
Yeah, that sounds like you're doing some brilliant work. When I was in primary school, I used to get very frustrated because I had all these good ideas for stories and I just couldn't get them down on paper. I was diagnosed with dyslexia when I was 9, and
very lucky. I was 41.
It's staggering, isn't it?
Very bad.
At least there's some progress there, but still, by the time I was 9, I'd been through a lot of the state school system, and a lot of damage had been done to my self-confidence. How did you feel when you were diagnosed with dyslexia?
Oh, it was as if somebody had saved me from drowning. Even at that stage, I had already won my 3 world championships in driving, and I had already won the British and the Scottish and the English and the Irish and the Welsh championships at shooting, and the European and Mediterranean championship, the Coupe de Nation. I had done all of those things, and yet I was still feeling inadequate and still feeling, you know, not able to keep up with other people in so many different ways because my education had been so poor.
Do you think your dyslexia is what's driven you to achieve such great things within your racing and your sporting career?
Well, it certainly makes you try harder, and if you find something that you're good at, then you really focus on that perhaps more than people who are so-called clever, because you're just so anxious to just get some praise or some success or a little bit of achievement, and so you try harder than most people. So it's, in many ways, I think it has been dyslexia that's driven me on, because when you feel inadequate in other things and then you find something that you can do better than other people, then you want to, you know, expand that advantage. So it's been a blessing in some respects, but overall I would hate anybody to go through what I went through, and lots of other people of my age group went through, because there's a lot of people out there already mature, already in the older age group, who still can't read and write correctly and are frightened to admit it.
It's shocking, and I reckon a lot more needs to be done to help. It seems the majority of state schools don't know how to teach dyslexics, and you may be lucky enough to find a private school that has specially trained teachers.
That's what I'm busily pushing at the present time, you know. I was lucky when my sons were found to be dyslexic. I was able to afford a special teacher for them and paid a special educator to go to their school and work there at my cost for a whole year. Then it suddenly found that there was another 20 young people with learning problems, and then, of course, everybody else had to chip in. But that's not social inclusion. If you don't have money, you can't do that. And that's what I'm fighting for at the moment with Westminster. With the Labour government have been consistently saying education, education, education. But if you're not helping 10% of the whole population, and that's what there is in dyslexia alone, 10% of our national population have got dyslexia. If you're not helping that 10%, that's a terrible thing. And it's a great loss to the country and a great cost to the country. So I really push hard on that governmentally, but it needs more people to push their own MPs to get help, because a lot of young people are simply being ignored, simply being pushed aside, and simply being left in the dustbin of life because they're not given a full education. Their parents are paying taxes to afford that education, but they're not enjoying the privilege.
Exactly. I reckon it's terrible what's going on, and the government should really get their act together, because a lot of people aren't getting the right help. Like, when I was in primary school, I was sent to hundreds of writing classes, but it's never done me any good, and I don't think I ever am going to be able to write. I've just got to find ways around it. And you were talking earlier about your Formula One racing. Do you get nervous before a race?
Oh, yes. I think everybody gets a little bit on edge. Nowadays, the young drivers have had a lot more experience in the formative classes of the sport, because karting has become such an important part of the preparation to be a racing driver. And they do so many starts, so many heats, so many quarterfinals, semifinals and finals. They're probably calmer before a Grand Prix than I was, because they've actually done more first laps, first corners, first races. and therefore, I think they're probably less pensive than I was. But having said that, as I got more experience, obviously, I knew how to control that and, to keep calm and keep my head cool and become fairly calm at the beginning. But other people, still to this day, you see them driving erratically at the beginning of a race, and that's usually from tension, usually from nervous energy. It's better to avoid that if you can.
I would say you've done an awful lot of work for the safety of British racing. What is the most scary moment you've had on a racetrack?
Oh, well, I've had occasionally those, but ironically not very often, because racing drivers can keep their head straight, they're synchronized to the speed that they're racing at, and everything happens in kind of slow motion, so you're able to deal with most things. But suddenly when you have a mechanical failure, a brake failure, for example, that's a very scary moment, because suddenly you're traveling at high, high speed. And in those days when I was racing, there wasn't the same runoff areas or deformable structures to run into, the deformable safety barriers. So many more people got killed in my day and seriously injured at my time. But when you had a mechanical failure, that was the most frightening moment, because you were no longer in control. Suddenly that breakage just took the car away from you, and it was just a question of fighting the car to try and slow it down or eliminate the very serious object that you may have been running into.
Yeah, it sounds really scary. Were your parents happy about you starting racing? Because my parents get worried enough when I'm competing in judo competitions, and racing is a whole lot more dangerous. Were they worried when you first took up the sport?
Well, my mother was. She didn't like me racing at all. In fact, she ignored the whole issue. Because I had done it behind her back, she didn't want me to be a race driver. And when I did it, to begin with, I'd raced under a different name, not my own name, not Jackie Stewart. I raced under another. And that was fine until I started to get into the more successful areas of the sport and, the higher formulas. And she therefore thought I had cheated her, and therefore she wouldn't acknowledge that I raced cars at all. And throughout my entire motor racing career, my mother never recognized I was a racing driver. It was a bit of a game. She knew I was a racing driver, but she didn't want to admit it because I had not told her at the right time. My father dealt with it quite well, and that was fine, but I think any parent should be concerned when their son's a racing driver or their daughter's a racing driver nowadays. And you know, if something bad happens, it's not very nice for a parent. I know when my son was racing, I didn't enjoy the weekends at all because I was always frightened that something negative would occur.
Yeah, it looks like a really, really dangerous sport, and I am dreading the day I learn to drive.
Well, it takes you around the world. It's very glamorous, it's colourful, and it's exciting, and it's a great sport to be part of. But it does have a downside risk. Nowadays, of course, the sport is so safe that our risk management is fantastic. And that's now we've raced for more than almost, yeah, it will be. It's 13 and a half years since we ever lost a Grand Prix driver to an accident. So that's a pretty good record.
That's fantastic.
There's very few sports can claim that.
Well, brilliant. Before you go, this is a bit cheeky of me to ask, but do you mind saying hello, this is Jackie Stewart and you're listening to Rodders FM?
Hello, this is Jackie Stewart and you're listening to Rodders FM.
Oh, that's brilliant. Have you got any words of inspiration to give to anyone who may be struggling with dyslexia and finding it hard at school right now?
Well, if you've got a learning problem and you're struggling at school, first of all, go to your teacher. Try and explain to your teacher that you just can't do the things that other people can do easily. You're not just lazy. You're not paying attention. You've got a problem. If you can't get it, make sure your parents go and see the headmaster or the head of teaching. And if you can't get any help out of them, go to your local MP and say that you're not being helped by the school system. There will be somebody in your area who specializes in dyslexia or other forms of learning disability. You can get help, but sometimes it needs really leadership from your MP or from one of your council members in your local county council or borough council if you can't get it from your school.
Thank you very much. You've been a great guest. Jackie Stewart, everyone. Thank you so much for your time, Sir Jackie. And same to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank Rod, it's Friday!
Yes, that's right, you are listening to Rodders FM, live across the internet on rodders.com. That was an interview with Jackie Stewart. I had to get up quite early to record that interview, but it was worth it. And by early, I mean 8 o'clock in the morning, so that's not very early. If anybody out there wants information about dyslexia, go to www.bdadyslexia.com. Also, I've got an announcement to make. Henry has now become our new music officer. If you're part of an unsigned band, email him henry@rodders.com. This is The Kinskys. You can check them out on myspace.com/TheKinskys, KINSKIS. This is one of their songs called 215.
One girl asked me to write a song, but I don't like to talk about it. She said to write about what's wrong, but I don't like to talk about it. We'll be right back.
Huskies there. What a great show we're having tonight. We're doing a quiz tonight, the Quizzical Quiz. In fact, I'm going to change the rules a bit to encourage people to phone in. You don't necessarily have to get the questions right to win the prize. You just have to, if you give an answer that makes me chuckle, then you'll get the prize. And the prize tonight, you're probably wondering what it is. It's a personalised Rodders FM ringtone. Yes, we're really going high cost here tonight. And the ringtone can be done by one, two, or all of our characters we have here. I'd like to introduce the first one. He is Weelzebub. He's the weasel equivalent of Satan. He is a bit weird, but if you want this thing to answer your answer to ring every time you get a phone or a text, Weelzebub, can you wake up a minute, mate?
Look, I was trying to sleep. I'm the weasel equivalent of Satan. I should be able to do whatever I want. But I'm forced to write rubbish text alerts. Oh, you've got a text. Like I care. I'm a weasel.
That's what you could have on your text alert. Now, we're now going to go on to probably the most controversial and pointless feature. Yes, you've guessed it.
Now's the part of the show where Rodders will go on a rant about what really makes him sick.
You make me f***ing sick to my stomach.
Yes, that's right. You Make Me Sick returns again. Now, you know what makes me sick? Illness. That's right, illness. And I'd just like to say a special hello to the professor, who, unfortunately, he was going to co-host here tonight. But the poor old bloke is ill. He's got calendula fever. He's been ill all over Christmas. That makes him sick. Now, what is going to happen now? I'm going to rant about something. And my topic tonight is Harry Potter. I'm fed up of it. I'm absolutely fed up of it. Okay, the films are pretty good. I like the films. Especially when Hermione walks onto the screen. Hello, Hermione. But then that stupid Ron has to ruin everything. But okay, everyone, most people love Harry Potter. Oh, I love Harry Potter. It's good that he's got a wand. Wingardium Leviosa. Shut up. The thing is, it was good for the first three books. They were brilliant. And I've got them all on my bookshelf over there, just below the rod cam. I love those books. I read them, like, loads of times. Then when it got to four, they suddenly got absolutely massive. They're like bricks, for crying out loud. And I don't want to read a brick. I mean, what was J.K. Rowling thinking? Was it sort of a selling point? I know, I think it'd be really funny if I can make little kids lug around huge books and give themselves back problems. I'm fed up with Harry Potter because they've just got too long. The stories are just too long and they're really repetitive. I mean, she can't even think of new spells. They're fighting Lord Voldemort and Harry goes, pulls out his wand and goes, Expelliarmus. How original. We've heard that one before. That's completely unoriginal, and quite frankly, ladies and gentlemen, it makes me sick. So that's it for this week's You Make Me Sick.
Thank God it's Friday!
It's a feature we haven't done. We haven't done a quiz on Rodders FM for absolutely ages, and you know why, because they always go disastrously wrong, especially when the professor is involved. Luckily, he's not involved tonight. And at the beginning, I'm going to play the jingle now, but I should tell you, at the beginning it says Hospital Radio Reading. Well, that's because I made this jingle for Hospital Radio Reading where I work, and I couldn't be bothered to make another one. Shout out if you work at Hospital Radio Reading. You're doing great work, and you're putting up with me, and you need a medal for putting up with me. So let's take it away.
And now live from Hospital Radio Reading.
Rods FM.
The Quizzical Quiz. And here's your host that loves a bit of toast, it's Rodders.
Yes, that's right, I am your host. And apparently I like a bit of toast. Oh dear. Now, we're going to get our first contestant on the line now. It's a surprise who he is. So I hope you'll like him.
Hello.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am proud to introduce to you his second appearance on Rodders FM. It's Jonty from Big Brother. Now, you were on the show. How long ago do you reckon it was, Jonty?
Oh, it was in the middle of December, so it's probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, anything exciting happened to you since?
Oh, well, I got interviewed by the local press today, all about Big Brother Celebrity Hijack, so I was staying up all night watching it, doing my homework for that. And and one of the local papers covers Boreham Wood, which is where the house actually is, so that's all rather jolly. And I've been invited along to Portsmouth to give a lecture to the students on career, so that'll be very nice. And a Roman day at Colchester Castle, so suddenly things are beginning to move, so that's all very jolly.
What we're going to do, firstly, we're going to ask you the quiz questions, then we're going to get our second contestant on, but we had loads and loads of people calling in, and I'm really sorry to anybody who we can only have one other person doing the quiz, otherwise it would go on all night. But as a consolation, Jonty, do you mind saying hello to one of my best mates? His name's Jamie.
No, not at all. Hello, Jamie. How's it going?
We're going to get on with the quiz. Question number one. I hope you know your Disney films, Jonty.
Ooh, I'll do my best.
Which Disney film is about a flying elephant? Is it A, Bridge Over the River Kwai, B, Pinocchio, or C, Dumbo?
Dumbo.
Yes, I don't know how you knew that one. Now, question number two. Who wanted to be a real boy?
Who wanted to be a real boy? I've got no idea.
As opposed to a fake boy.
Nothing to do with haunted cars and stuff, is it?
Haunted cars, yeah. I'd just like you to... While we were playing the Jackie Stewart interview, you were in the chat room saying something about cars.
Yeah, this thing I was reading all about this guy who bought this car, and it looked all nice and clean and polished and all the rest of it. But every now and again, this dreadful smell would appear from nowhere. And it was stinking the place out. And they got a medium in, and apparently it was an 18th century ghost with pigtails, and the tongue had been cut out, and it had halitosis.
That's completely and bonkers. That's insane. But don't worry, I don't think Jackie Stewart has that problem. Hang on a minute, maybe that's why he gave up racing.
Oh, it could be. Maybe he bought a haunted car or something. He just couldn't get rid of the snow.
Oh dear, what a legend though. I was so lucky to speak to him.
Oh, he was amazing, wasn't he? Such a nice guy.
What question number were we on? Oh yeah, we were on number two, which you don't know the answer to.
I'm afraid not, no.
You're going to kick yourself when you hear the answer. It is Pinocchio. I'm a real boy! Or should I say,
I'm a real boy!
Oh dear, good old Pinocchio. So that's one question out of two you've got right. Number three, which Disney film featured an owl named Archimedes?
You've got me there. I'm afraid I have no idea again.
Oh, come on, you've got to know this one. I'll play an owl noise, see if it makes things any easier for you. Let's, animate. I don't think, now, having said this, I've got an owl noise. This'll do for an owl, I think. Does that help you?
It sounded like a cockerel. Let's see, an owl called
after me. Judging by that clue, it's obviously Sword in the Stone.
Ah, I haven't seen that.
Oh, it's a classic. So now on to our penultimate question. What colour is the genie in Aladdin?
Ah, I think the answer to this is blue. Is that right?
Yep, that is correct. You have got two so far. Now, the final question is, which animated heroine saved Captain Smith? And I don't mean heroin is in the jug, I mean the drug, I can't speak tonight. I don't mean heroin is in the drug derived from the opium poppy, I mean as in the female hero.
Pocahontas.
That is correct. So that brings your grand total up to 3 out of 5. Now, if Luke can beat that, he will win a personalised Rodders FM ringtone.
Ooh, good luck to him, I didn't do very well.
Well, cheers for speaking to you, Jonty. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. You're welcome anytime. Wicked. Thank you very much. Good luck in whatever you're doing next.
Thanks very much. Happy
and,
New Year.
Actually, if you go onto the forum now, Jonty is a member, and he's posted something about a video you made about for the British Museum. The Museum of London, sorry.
That's right. If you put in Jonty's Big Tour into YouTube, you'll get a choice of little snippets of tours I've done to the Museum of London and the Museum of Scotland, so if anybody wants to see those.
What we need to do, we need to get this forum really busy. It was really busy at one point, and then everyone sort of abandoned it when I went away to do GCSE exams. Boo. And nobody came back to it, and now you're probably the first member in absolute ages. So hopefully you will all come creeping back. Pleasure to speak to you, John Z. Good night.
And you.
Bye.
All the best. Bye.
Now, our next quizzical quiz contestant is Luke.
Hello.
Hello, is that Luke?
Yeah, hi.
You're on Rodders FM. Don't drop your dishcloth.
Okay, I'll try not to.
And if, all right, you sound very excited to be on the show, Luke.
No. Oh, yeah, I'm pumped.
Yeah, you sound like you're over the moon. And you're now taking part in the quizzical quiz. John T has
it's
scored...
It's going to be quite easy because you've told me all the answers. And also, John T was pretty bad.
Yes, he only got 3 out of 5. But what do you take me for? I'm not just going to read you the same questions again.
Oh, right.
I could do that. Let's do that, only I'm going to do it differently. Elephant flying, A, about is film Disney which? Luke, I'm having you on. I've got a load of new questions for you here, which I prepared out of the kindness of my heart. In which film did Rowan Atkinson voice a character?
Do
a voice.
In a Disney film?
Yeah, the character's name was Zazu. Spelt Z-A-Z-U.
I have no idea.
If anyone's in the chat room, can
you... I have literally no idea.
Is anybody, Ned is now scrabbling around going, I don't know, purple or blue or Pocahontas. He's trying to help you. Shall I give you a clue?
Yeah, okay, go for it.
Can you feel the love tonight?
Is it that cat one? No, the one about the tramp.
No, it's the Lion King.
Oh, right, yeah.
that cat one. I'm not going to accept that as an answer, although they are cats. That brings your grand total up to 1 after the first question. It would have been great if you got 2 after the first question. You would have defeated the laws of nature. Where are the films Mary Poppins plus Oliver Twist set? No, Oliver, not... Yeah, where is the film's Mary Poppins and Oliver set?
In London?
No, in the basement of some studio. No, yeah, correct. I'll give you that one.
That was a tough one.
That's a pretty easy one, I thought. Which film featured cats called Snowball, Smokey, Lucky and Red?
That's got to be that cat one. Or the cat one.
No, you're thinking of the Aristocats, and it's not that one.
No, that's not one. That's not one.
Didn't actually know this was a Disney film, so I'll give you a clue. It is. Actually, I'm not going to bother giving you a clue because I reckon you're going to beat John T anyway. Where are we? The answer was Stuart Little.
That's the cat one I was talking about.
Oh, you were on about the Aristocats. You can't just define every single show with cats in as the cat film. You could have meant cats and dogs. Okay, which film was advertised as Real Spies Only Smaller? I've misread that one.
Spy Kids.
Yes, that is correct.
Oh, yeah.
Now you're drawing with Jonty. Now, I hope you beat him. Well, I'll have to make 2 ringtones. I'm just too lethargic to make 2... No, I don't mind making 2 ringtones. Which film... sequel was subtitled The Adventure Home.
The Adventure Home.
It's really difficult, this one.
James Bond, for definite.
That was not a Disney film. Do you want another?
Oh, crap, so close.
Guys in the chat room, shall I bother giving him a clue? They don't seem to want to give you a clue.
Yeah, no one's right.
I'll give you a clue. It involves a large whale.
The Rodders FM movie.
No, it is Free Willy 2. And that concludes our quizzical quiz. It's a draw, and I could do one of 2 things here.
I think you should let Jumpy win, because he didn't win Big Brother.
That's true, he came 6th.
Yeah.
But actually, it would be a good achievement if he came 6th in this competition, as there are only 2 entries. So I could do one thing. I could just not bother giving anyone any ringtones. But I'm not that sort of a guy. You'll both get personalised Beelzebub ringtones.
No, you won't. I can't be bothered. I've got much better things to do than make listeners ringtones. They don't deserve ringtones. Ring. I deserve a ringtone. Can I have a ringtone?
If you're prepared to make yourself one...
Well, I'm not!
Then you've sort of answered your own question.
Oh,
that was Beelzebub. And Luke, thanks for joining us on the show. Good night.
Right.
Okay.
Oh dear, that was the quizzical quiz. Thank you for Luke for calling in, and thank you very much to Jonty. This has been the quizzical quiz. Next time, I'm not sure when the next show is going to be. Go to www.rodders.com and check out the schedule, and I will be filling that in very, very shortly. It's been an absolutely fabulous show. Shout out to Luke, the professor. Hopefully the professor will be better really, really soon. This has been Rodders here, signing out for what has been a fabulous show. Good night, everybody.
Rodders FM. It's much better than a Yorkshire pudding.
Do a broadcast and a show, and then I really have to go. You've been the only thing that's right on the radio. Rodders, Rodders, you've been my favorite show. I can hear the radio if I'm not gonna hear your voice. Louder, louder, I'll turn up the stereo. I will hear.